Breakfast. Now, even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Hi, it's Lou here from More Radio Breakfast. Welcome to our Best Bits podcast. After another crazy week on the show, we've glued together some standout moments from the past 7 days. So enjoy. And don't forget, you can join us live every single morning on More Radio from 6 a.m.
Tom, Lou and Jack. The Best Bits. Even more Radio Breakfast. More Radio.
Okay, I've got an update for you on...
Ow.
The Henfield Peacocks.
Yes. Well, as they're known, the boys.
The boys.
Boy, boys.
The, yeah.
What's this?
So they've escaped the hangman's noose.
Good.
Yes, they have.
The petition to save them after they were originally going to be humanely disposed of.
Mm, yeah, that's not good,
because they were causing noise and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, they're survived. And we move on to better news for them.
Yay.
They're releasing a Christmas calendar.
Why not? I haven't seen them for a while, actually. And I've been out walking Jeff the dog, and usually you can hear him or see him. I ain't seen him for a while, so I was getting worried.
Well, they've been in a studio, just taking some shots.
Sure.
All proceeds are going to go towards their welfare and upkeep. But, so that'll be out for Christmas. I hope they recreate the classic Athena posters of the 90s.
What, like lifting up his skirt, showing his bum
the tennis
when he's playing
one.
Tennis?
Just a hint of that marvellous tail.
Yeah, a peacock holding a couple of tyres in a garage.
All oiled up on
his greased breath. Up, yeah, why not? Oh, I'm glad that they're safe. They're part of Henfield folklore, them little legends.
I've got January's picture here. Here's the peacock, seductively looking down the lens, cradling a baby. Which is nice.
Hey?
What?
I'm joking.
Cradling a baby?
That's the Athena poster, isn't it? The bloke holding the baby?
I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
That's the one I had.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Let's talk about life, if we can, without getting too deep and meaningful. I've got here life's major milestones and the ages that the majority of us have achieved them by. This isn't necessarily the right age or the wrong age. It's just the national average.
Okay.
So are you behind? Are you in front? Let's find out. We're going to start with your first kiss. The national average here is 15 years old.
Is this a Frenchie?
A proper...
Snog.
Snog.
Yeah, I would say I was probably around 15. I was quite late.
I think I was 16.
Mm.
Yeah. How about you?
Bit younger.
Go on, Tom. About 10.
11.
Oh, no!
First proper boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, you know, a meaningful relationship.
Nicola Matthews, Shivers Swimming Club.
We don't need names and places.
When I used to be a lifeguard at King Alfred, so 18, 19?
It went along with the first kiss for me, so 16.
Oh, good girl, Lou. 18 for me.
She broke my heart, that woman, Tom.
The age you've passed your driving test...
17.
National average is 20 here.
Is it? Yeah, no, 17 for me as well.
17 for me. Your first holiday, so lads or girls trip away, you know, Ibiza, Mallorca, whatever it might be. The national average here is 21.
See, I've never done that. I've only gone with a group of boys and girls.
Right.
So I did that when I was sort of 17, 18.
Okay.
But we've never been just the girls.
Yeah, well, that's, I would say 17
then. It's the first holiday without parents.
Yeah.
I think I was 19. Goldie, Strutty, Darren Peters, Bartman, or the Chappendales, as we were known.
Yeah. Horrible. 21 is the average there. A couple more here. The age you get married on average is 27 in the UK. Jack, you were...
I have no idea.
Yes, you do. You've got the date tattooed on your arm.
I was 33.
I was 30. Lou, you will be...
I will be 32.
32, okay.
If it goes ahead...
two more. The age you buy your first property.
Oh, year after we got married. So, 34.
I was 33.
I think I was about 27.
And the age you have your first child on average in the UK is 28. Jack?
Is it? Wow.
36.
I was 30.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Love it,
she's got so much ahead of her, Tom.
Hasn't she?
We're so old.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The Best Bits.
It is official. Chess is sexy, all thanks to the Queen's Gambit show on Netflix. And in the 10 days since it was released, eBay says there was a 273% surge in searches for chess sets. We all want to play now.
Right, Lou, tell me how, very briefly, this show makes it sexy, chess.
Well, because it's, like, so gripping and there's all the politics behind the...
Politics isn't sexy, Lou.
No. But you know when you get sort of... it's hard to describe, Tom, help.
It's... I'm only three episodes in, but essentially it's great. It's the underdog story.
Yeah.
She's a girl and playing chess in a man's world sort of in the 50s and she just takes him to town.
Right, so what you're saying is then that you watch it with your wife Maxine and then when an episode is finished, she wants to grab you by your bishop.
Okay, let's have a word with... let's have a word with Sally.
I'm proud of that one.
Sally in Port Slade. Sally, have you seen this show?
Yes, I have, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
And yes, I bought a chess board.
You bought a chess board?
Can you play chess?
I did. No. But that's okay. That's okay, because my son and daughter are teaching me.
That's
Beating
me a lot.
Sally, let's talk about this show and the sexiness of it. Is it a sexy show?
I don't know what Tom's quite watching, but...
No, I never said it was sexy. Lou said chessboards are sexy as in they're in. They're on trend. I think that's...
It's all been slightly misconstrued.
Jack's taking the word sexy out of control.
I'm sorry, Sally, but sexy to me means sexy, you know? So I was about to ask you if you like Tom and Maxine, and when you finish watching an episode of The Queen's Gambit, if you grab your other half by his rook.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
Oh, Sally. So listen, I'm the only one here in this conversation that hasn't seen it. Should I watch it?
Definitely, Jack. You've got to watch it. It's really, really good. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I trust you more than
and
these two, Herbert.
I bet you buy a chessboard.
All right, then, my darling. Well, listen, I trust you more than these two, as I say, so I'll give it a go, Sally. It's lovely to talk to you. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. Love to you all.
Love to you. Bye.
Thanks,
darling.
Sally. Bye.
What a nice lady.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
I'm not happy.
Oh, okay.
I've spotted... I had no idea this was happening. And I've spotted a story today, and it just... It's under the banner of just leave it the hell alone.
Wow.
Something is being remade for Disney Plus. It isn't like a new... It isn't like a continuation of the story. It is a remake of the first film. And it's going to be bad, man. The director of the original has said, leave it alone. You know what I mean? You can't. It's got too much longevity. It's unoriginal what you're doing, Disney. Just leave
it
alone.
But this is what Disney does these days, isn't it? They've remade most of them.
Oh.
Disney.
Oh.
Are remaking Home Alone.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
So this is, if you know Jack at all, you'll know that along with Karate Kid, this is one of your favourite movies
ever. It's an amazing film. It's easily my favourite Christmas film. The bit at the end when his neighbour, the old man, cuddles his granddaughter and he's got tears. I could cry thinking about it. And they're going to... You can't... Some things are just too precious and too beloved to mess around with.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Lou, why are you so quiet? I want to be some passion. If you say you've never seen Home Alone.
No.
If you say you've never seen Home Alone.
I've seen it once.
Right.
About 3 years ago.
Right.
He's so annoying.
Oh, my God. Take her mic down. Yeah. Take her mic.
Sorry,
take her down now.
There's only so much.
Yeah, she's not coming on for another few minutes.
Okay, she's off.
That is what you've just said is sacrilege.
I don't think you can watch it as
sorry.
An adult.
No, go away.
Go away. Clear off. Off you go. Go on.
Yeah, I agree. Don't mess with... Don't...
She's banging on the window.
She's banging. Don't fix something that's not broken.
Exactly.
You know?
Everybody still loves it. You never get bored of watching it. Home Alone is just too precious. Leave it alone.
Right.
Is that a bad idea? 8:22:22. Starting Mrs. The Word More. Are you a Home Alone lover? And just how weird is Lou? We want you to tell us how weird you think Lou is.
Right, well, let her back in then. Lou?
Yeah?
You going to behave?
What do you mean by behave?
Take her down.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Right, listen, we're in the wrong business. I've seen this today. We need to change what we do for a living. Are you up for that?
That's quite drastic. It's got to be worth it.
We need to get in the horse game.
I'm in.
There is a horse called Galileo. He's won the Derby before. He's one of the best horses of all times when it comes to the horsey running race. He's valued at over £180 million, this horse. That's what he's worth. But it gets even more outrageous than that. You know horses, if they're really good at the horsey running race,
yeah,
they then get sent off to stud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which means essentially they get to have their way with a filly. And the plan is that that filly will then give birth to a horse that's going to be just as good. If you want Galileo to have a roll around with your horse, you have to pay the owners £600,000.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
£600,000, and Galileo will come around your farm, do what needs to be done, and hopefully, I don't know the gestation period of a horse, but a few months later, you'll have a thoroughbred going to win the Derby and the Grand National and all that.
Or at least good enough to earn you a lot of money, because the prize money's massive in that sort
so,
of thing.
So, Jack, what are you suggesting then?
That we should buy a horse.
I don't think we can afford it.
Well, we don't necessarily have to buy Galileo, because he's 180 million quid. But there is a horse for sale in Henfield at the moment called Toto for 250 quid.
Right. And now what are we going to get if we stud him out?
Well, I've worked out the sums. I reckon we can stud him out for 50 quid a pop. But the good thing about Toto is he's got tremendous stamina.
Okay. He's got a bad bout of colic, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. As long as the other thing's working, we're going to be quids in.
All right.
And Toto is a remarkably good lover. And that's not me saying that. That's the horse fraternity.
All right. It's a bit of a Del Boy scheme, this, isn't it, Lou?
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Let's talk about creativity. I'm a big fan of people that are creative. Graffiti is wrong and you shouldn't do it. But sometimes you should, if you can make it funny. These are photos that I found online of just people being very creative with certain signs that they've seen in certain establishments. Big KFC sign here. Every day is a good day for chicken. Someone's written underneath it, unless you're a chicken. In case of fire, do not use elevator. Someone's written underneath it, no, use water.
That's clever.
It's really clever, isn't it? And you know those soap dispensers that you get in like your public toilets where you push the little button? He's got the thing and someone's put on it, instant paper cup finder.
Oh, yes. Or with the whole hand sanitizer at the minute.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, brutal. Yeah.
Big sign here, big road sign. This year, thousands of men will die from stubbornness.
Ooh.
Someone's written underneath it, no, we won't. But I think this is my favourite. This is in America. Massive sign outside a big sort of warehouse unit on an industrial estate. For lease. And someone's written underneath it in massive letters. Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Nearly two-thirds of us here in the UK suffer from food share fear. This is where we don't like to share our food.
Joey doesn't share food.
Yeah, if you watch Friends, that's famous, isn't it? Stoke-on-Trent, that's where I was born, you know.
Dump.
that's right. Are the most tolerant people when it came to sharing their food. People from Birmingham are least likely to put up with it.
Hang on a minute. Because Tom is from Stoke. And, mate, you're a food, devil man. He doesn't share anything.
That's not true.
No, yes, it is, mate.
Didn't get your own.
No, and you know it is as well. I remember Tom said to me once at about 5:30 in the morning when I hid his Weetabix.
Yeah.
I'm only going to tell you this once. Don't ever get in the way of
me and my food.
You hid his Weetabix.
I hid it. Yeah, we're very mature.
Where did you hide it?
Under my desk.
Yeah. It wasn't a fun day. So I have here the biggest dinner time faux pas. These are food crimes committed daily.
All right.
People need to think twice. Dunking your chips in someone else's sauce. Oh, what are you doing?
That's right.
Get your own little dollop. No, get off.
Yeah, but what if the waitress only brings like one little pot of sauce?
Well, then she's not a waitress. Yeah. She should be fired.
Okay, wow.
And number two here. Taking a big handful of crisps when someone only offers you one.
Morning, Sally Ann, my wife.
She did that.
Morning, darling.
Yeah. The claw goes in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sally
Half
Ann.
The bag
my,
gone.
My beautiful wife will get her whole arm in a tube of Pringles.
Annoying, isn't it? Do you want one? I'll take them all. Eating from someone else's plate when they're in the loo, if you're in a restaurant.
What?
That's on the list here.
No, that's just...
Never leave your plate.
That's
come
a
on.
Given, isn't it? Come on.
What are you going to do? Take the plate with you? I mean...
Have you had one of my sausages? No, darling.
No. And the last one here is not. Yeah, this does my head in. Oh, somebody not ordering a pudding, but instead just assuming they can share some of yours.
If Sal and I are in a restaurant or something, we'll have that conversation. Do you want to share a pudding?
Yeah, we do that. Yeah. We quite often share.
Yes, fine. But what happens with my wife is she'll the late waitress will come
it's
over.
It's a preconception.
Yeah. Would you like anything with the dessert menu? I'll just have a bit of his. I don't think
but
you
that's
will.
The thing
I'm
about...
sorry. I don't think you will. You may have given me three beautiful children, but no, get off my chocolate sponge.
But that's Maxine, isn't it? She's selfish. She always has been.
Why has this become a wife bashing feature?
Yeah. Well, no, listen, it's not just wives, it's fiancés as well. Because I don't like your fiancé, Pete. I'm joking.
Oh my God. What's going on this morning? Just talking about a bit of food. It's
are you okay, Jack? Yeah. Do you need a cuddle?
No, I'm just going to have some breakfast. That'll sort me out.
Okay.
Do you want to share? Can I have a bit?
Have you hit his Weetabix, Tom?
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
A little survey here on Britain's most dangerous jobs. It's quite interesting reading because there's stuff on there that you'd expect to be on there. Top three, construction industry.
I had a mate called Dale once, and he had a job where he would be harnessed on the side of an icebreaker boat in the Arctic, and his job was to chip away the ice that was gathering on the boat as it was moving.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
That's not fun.
He was hard, he was.
A farmer is in second place.
Farmer? Really?
Yeah. Oh, if you think about all the machinery and the wild animals.
What, chickens?
Well, so, no, there's also pigs. And once you
cows are big and heavy.
Yeah,
yeah, but they're so docile.
Britain's number one most dangerous career here is fisherman.
Oh, well, like deadliest catch when they get the crabs. Yeah. You ever seen that? That's lethal, that is.
No, I think it's probably out on the open seas.
Yeah, boats go down, people get caught in nets and all that horrible thing. But there's a few on the list that I can't quite explain away. How do you explain this? Estate agents. I mean, was this sort of the trip, slip and fall hazard whilst out on a job?
I don't know.
Estate agents?
Now, listen. We're going to go in the lounge, but be aware because there's so much natural light in here that it's going to burn your eyes.
This is number 18. And I try and explain this one. One of Britain's most deadliest jobs is a librarian. 46 major non-fatal injuries in the last year.
Bookshelves are heavy.
Ladders, bookshelves.
Yeah.
Oh, paper cuts.
Oh, yeah. Paper cuts, yes. Yeah. Paper cut in the wrong place. Nasty.
Darling, I'm in hospital. I had an accident at work. Oh, my God, what happened? When the Encyclopedia Britannia's fell on my head.
Well, that's what it could be, you joke. But the Harry Potter collection's heavy when they're all together.
It is, yeah.
Just take it easy out there.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
It's Benny Blanco, Halsey and Khalid, Eastside. You're listening to more radio. Hello, Tom, Lou and Jack with you. Hope you're doing good.
Can you stop singing now, please? We're trying to do a link here.
Yeah, we're trying to chat. It's getting a bit annoying.
Shut up.
I think they're done now.
Honestly.
Have you ever been to Rutland in the East Midlands?
I've driven through it, perhaps.
Yeah, I've not spent much time there.
Doesn't sound very nice.
But it was very proud. It's a county. It was very proud for being the only county in England.
Rutland's not a county.
Yeah, it's the smallest county in UK.
But it's not got Shire or Sex on the end of it.
That's not. Well, neither is Devon or Cornwall.
Wiltshire. Oh, yeah, Shire. Anyway, Rutland Sex is... sounds like a couple of stags going at it, doesn't it? Is in the East Midlands, and it is the only county in England until now that's held out against McDonald's. The council's there saying, no, we're not having a McDonald's. Would you believe it? They've caved. It's just opened. Actually, it opened in between the two lockdowns. But, I mean, it's amazing. Because you'd think McDonald's are everywhere, and they've held out and held out. They just didn't want the mess and all that.
This reminds me of the time that Poundland opened in Hayward City.
Yes.
And people
remember?
Were kicking off. They were chaining themselves to the railings outside.
Do you remember that?
Poundland is good.
It's great. sweet.
I love a Poundland. Never in my mouth. I won't buy anything from Poundland and put it in my mouth.
Oh, yeah, you've got your weird rule, haven't you?
Yeah, but bleaching, cleaning products, tea lights, all day long. I let it fall.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
This is interesting this morning. They've announced that lockdown has been voted the word of the year for 2020. Right. That's according to Collins Dictionaries.
Not social distance.
Well, no, but this is the thing. So lockdown is like the most used word. But I just thought I'd sort of gauge what people would go for. So you're thinking social distancing.
Well, yeah, I think that's the big word, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, and who knew what furlough meant this time last year?
I'd never heard of that word.
Exactly.
Never heard of that word.
So I just put something up on our Facebook page a little bit earlier, about an hour ago, in fact, just to see, you know, what people thought was the best 2020 themed word or phrase they've heard. A lot of people have gone for, like, classic Boris statements. Nikki's gone for, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Karen's gone for, these are unprecedented times.
Stay
Rebecca,
safe.
None more, now more than ever, all that kind of thing.
Now more than ever is a great one, isn't it? That's out there. I like COVIDian.
Yeah, well, I was going to say you like this one. That was Simon's choice. And Mark said asymptomatic, which is a good shout.
Yeah, I like using that word. It makes me sound intelligent.
And obviously, this is the new normal. That's Sue's.
Yeah.
But this is the one that I was like, I have not heard anybody use that. This is so bizarre. Michael reckons word of the year, or phrase of the year, 2020, should be chin diapers.
Chin diapers?
Oh, is it?
What does that mean?
Is this another word for mask?
Yeah.
Chin diapers.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
New book out just in time for Christmas, which is causing a stir across Sussex because it's good news for us. British Football's Greatest Grounds is the book.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's basically a book about grass.
About the stadium, the atmosphere, you know, the food and stuff like that, the transport links.
The transport links.
Listen, getting out of Tottenham on a Saturday evening after a game is a nightmare.
We have a Sussex ground that has finished number one in Britain. The greatest football ground in Britain The Dripping Pan.
Yeah!
Go on. That's got a great car park, actually.
Yeah, in your face, Old Trafford.
Free on a Sunday.
Go on the roots. Yeah, Lewis FC, the Dripping Pan, has been has finished number one in the British football's greatest grounds. And I'm just reading through it. It talks about the great experience of being there. And, of course, you've got the hills and the downs in the background with the paragliders. And instead of a box, like you can pay for extra, you know, to get a private box.
Yeah.
They have beach huts there with a Prosecco bar.
Beach huts?
Yeah, they do.
That makes no sense.
Do you know what? I'm ashamed to say that I've never been to the Dripping Pan. Tom, yeah. When we're allowed back in, why don't me and you go check out a Lewis game?
Let's do that. I've done it a few times. It's lovely. It's
I know the
fun.
Manager there a little bit as well, so
oh, really?
I'll tap him up and we'll get down. And Lou, you should come. Come have a veggie burger and a cup of Bovril.
Yeah.
You'll love it, Lou. We're going to go Dripping Pan. Go on, Lewis.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
Did you see, we do like talking about food on this show. If you listen a lot, you'll know that we do. A lot of the sort of fast food takeaways launched their Christmas menus. This was making news yesterday. Did you see any of these?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a few headlines. I didn't realise that the likes of McDonald's and KFC did Christmas menus.
Well, they do, and it's good. Mate, Tommy.
What we got?
Double Big Mac.
Get out.
How is that festive?
Because it's called the Christmas Double Big Mac. That's why. It's just a Big Mac with four...
It hasn't got sprigs of holly in it.
It's got four burgers in it, though, and everybody knows that you won't get much more Christmassy than burgers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah? Okay. Have a go at this.
Yeah.
Subway have released the Pigs in Blanket sub.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right, that makes more sense. Yeah. That's actually festive. No one's pouring gravy on a Big Mac.
No, but KFC are pouring gravy on, like, a burger. Chicken, cheese, hash brown gravy.
That's not festive.
It is festive. Do you know why? Because it's called the Christmas Burger Box Meal.
They just put the word Christmas at the front.
If they'd replace the hash browns with roast potatoes, that would be different.
McDonald's, Jamaican jerk chicken sandwich.
Okay, Christmas all.
Yeah, very Christmassy because Jamaicans love Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also cheese melt dippers.
Okay.
And McDonald's. Christmassy.
Put some port with it, maybe.
No, Christmassy because... cheese dippers were the Virgin Mary's favourite food.
Okay.
No.
I mean, look, do a reindeer burger and then we can call it Christmas.
A reindeer burger?
You can't eat. Have you never had reindeer?
I have.
You know, but you can't eat those. That, but that's, then Santa can't get it, can he?
Of course he can.
Should we eat his reindeer?
Just don't kill the ones he's going to use.
Oh, God.
What, Lou?
There might be small children listening, Tom. Yeah,
well done, Tommy. Absolutely scarred some people for life.
Ruined Christmas for Sussex.
Sorry, I'm just trying to be real.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
Did you know that each year the producers of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here talk to 60 celebrities?
And 60?
60. And from those phone calls, they whittle it down to their final contestants, their final, how about 10, is it? Or something like that.
About that, yeah.
But so along, you know, there's constants throughout I'm a Celeb. Obviously, Anton Dekker constant, but Medic Bob is also someone that is we've grown up with over the last 20 seasons.
Yeah.
We all know Medic
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah. Bob the Medic, he's a ledge.
He ain't making it this year because he can't fly over because of COVID.
No, but he's not Australian, is he not? He's British.
I don't know. He lives out in Oz. He lives out in Oz.
Oh, no. So who's the Medic going to be?
We don't know. I think it's going to be someone called Mafanwe.
Mafanwe.
I did wonder.
Have you got a pasta there, Mafanwe? I've got some I'm a Celeb news as well. You know Kiosk Keith?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, I was wondering about it, because didn't he get sacked a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he got sacked, and then I think he was replaced by Kiosk Kevin, wasn't he?
That's right, Kiosk Kev.
Well, because it's in Wales, neither of them two are going to be in it.
No.
They're still going to have the kiosk, but it's going to be Kiosk Kledvin.
No, it's not.
I'm telling you now.
Is that true?
I'm looking at it now.
What a great name.
Kiosk Kledvin.
Oh, we're going to miss all of them.
Yeah.
But do you know that Bob, Medic Bob, is so popular because the Germans, they do the same show and the same TV set in the jungle. He's so famous in Germany. He's like a celeb in his own right. I can't find it. I've been looking all morning. But there's a very famous pop song in Germany written about him. Did well in the charts.
Two most famous men in Germany, the Hoff and Medic Bob.
There you go. So that's it for this episode of the More Radio Breakfast Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please do rate, review, share the podcast if you can. It all helps to spread the word. Don't forget to join us every weekday morning from 6 a.m. We'll see you next time.
Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits. Even more Radio Breakfast. More.